Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Father of the ghetto and he's pressing the left. From the north to the south to the east to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle, fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio. How y'all doing, man? I hope everybody's doing fine. I know I am doing great, absolutely great. And what I want you to know is that we are coming live to you at the headquarters, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And want to say big ups to Florida, Iowa, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Omaha, Lincoln. How y'all doing? Jacksonville, what's up? And it's a pleasure for me to be on here today. We're going to be talking about young people. We got a celebrity guest calling in. Right now we're having just a little bit of trouble getting on the Internet, but we're still live on the air with you. We're going to be talking about young people and what we can do to make a difference. You know, a lot of times you want suggestions, ideas. You want to get your concerns answered. We're going to help you do that. And so, therefore, we have a young man with us today. He's going to talk about from his experience and what he knows and what he knows about young people. Introduce yourself, sir. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Justin, and I'm a member of Mad Dads.
Justin, tell us a little bit about, you know, a lot of people say, you know, we've lost this generation, and so since we've lost this generation, we might as well forget about this generation and work with the kids. A lot here, a lot of guys say, let's work with the kids and the babies, you know, kindergarten, fifth grade, fourth grade. Forget about them teenagers, man, because they're killing, they're shooting, they don't listen to us. What do you say to that?
I don't agree with that concept at all. We know for a fact that that particular generation is the future leaders of the country, and that if we allow them to continue to go down the path of destruction, that they will be able to make it impossible for the generation behind them to be able to do anything positive. So my personal opinion is that we should address the problem at hand instead of trying to go around it.
I agree with that. We shouldn't try to go around it. Our young people, man, are got a lot of issues. A lot of things are going wrong with them. And one of the things that's going wrong with our young people is the fact that they're dealing with some things we didn't have to deal with before, which is parenting. It's a big parenting issue. What's happened to our fathers today?
I can only speak from my personal experience or cultural background. I am born and raised in an urban environment, and we live in a culture or society where in those urban environments, fathers are not really respected as being heads of household or accepted as leadership. I think that has a lot to do with the breakdown of some of the families we see in the urban environment. We have developed a culture where we actually literally teach that fathers are not even necessary in children's lives.
So you say that, and the young lady told me the other day, she said, well, you know, I think my mom because she is my mom and my daddy. And I think my mother because she is my mom and my daddy. And I told her, I said, well, that's not really possible. I mean, she's a loving, caring mother, but she can't be both. And we have to stop trying to teach our kids that, you know, we're the mommy and the daddy. You know, we are the daddy's the daddy and the mama. You can't be both.
Well, just that statement within itself, BJ, lets us know that that even the child, whether it be boy or girl, accepts the fact that there needs to be two clear and distinct roles when it comes to parenting. If that was not the case, you wouldn't hear children make statements like, my mother was my mother and my father. So that proves my statement, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, that the father is a necessity in the household. I sincerely believe it takes two people to make a child. It takes two people to rear a child.
So you're trying to say you believe that they both have to be in the same household or they can't properly raise them?
I'm not saying that either parent has to necessarily physically be in the same household to properly rear a child, but that leads me to the bigger question. In 2014, the paradigm of what a parent is or what a parent should do has truly and sincerely changed from when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think kids are getting involved with gangs nowadays? What is the reason?
It's the same reason why our children always got involved with gangs. The only difference with 2014 and 1988 when I was a young man or a young child is that we're looking at third, fourth generation of gang influence, where that's actually part of the household culture. It's not something that the child needs to go outside of the house to see. Exactly. They see it in the house.
Right.
So that leads to a whole nother conversation as far as dealing with the influence that gangs have had on our community. Also, when we start looking at that quote-unquote influence, we need to accept the fact that the power of media has really changed things. We live in an information era, and children have easy access to negative imagery, for lack of better words. So I think that has a lot to do with some of the gang activity, because it is popular now. It's cool in the urban environments to be a part and a parcel to a gang. There is pride associated with being a part and a parcel to a gang for some of these children. They are representing not just their gang, but they're representing, like I said earlier, 2, 3, 4 generations of gang banging from the inside, which is coming from the inside of the home, not the outside.
So they used to say you could tell a gang from what they wear. Is that true now?
No. The generation we're looking at now is the true X generation. Not only can you not tell what gang is what gang, but we're also looking at a group of children because of the information era and because of the desegregation of the neighborhoods and communities. We're dealing with a true X generation where they lack in certain areas, they have surpassed us in other areas. Their idea about cooperation, their idea about dealing with other nationalities, I think personally is a little bit broader than what I was dealing with when I was growing up, which is a good thing, but it needs to be directed properly.
Well, here's one of the other things that they say. They tell you if you don't want your kid to be in a gang, don't let your child communicate with another gang member. That sounds like somebody doesn't understand how the hood works.
Well, first of all, that's no different than in 1963 or 1972, whatever year you want to date before, quote-unquote, the desegregation of a neighborhood, a white gentleman telling his son, don't play with the Negro kid down the street. That's not realistic. You know, it's not healthy to tell your child to avoid or not associate with human beings they're in direct contact with every day.
So what do you tell a parent that says, man, I live over north or I live over south, and I'm kind of surrounded around these dysfunctional families. How do I raise a kid?
In those kind of environments, I believe that the best thing that a parent can do is be the model of what not to do. Your child, you know, the child is going to make some mistakes. Some children will make greater mistakes than others. But in reality, children don't do what they hear. They do what they see. So the best thing a parent can do to help their child in an urban environment where gangs are prevalent and violence is prevalent is not to have it in the house, to interact with their children, not to put the cell phone in their hand or the computer in their hand. You know, we're living in a society now where the concept of sitting down and having a meal at the dinner table is almost non-existent. And it's the little things that we forget that, you know, leaves the door open for our children to easily be preyed upon when they go outside into the community.
Well, you know, that's some great information. Now, it sounds like you really you're studious to some of this gang and violent stuff in the community. And how did you get so educated about all this, sir?
I am from one of the largest, or I won't say necessarily the largest, I don't want to miss you know, give any wrong information, but my neighborhood in South Minneapolis is a nationally recognized neighborhood for the 30s Blood Gang. So I watched the gangs evolve. I remember when there weren't any gangs at all, period. I remember that time. I'm a little bit older, so I remember it. I'm born and raised in Minnesota, like I said before, South Minneapolis. I remember there was a such thing as no gang at all. There was no concept of gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched gangs develop in my neighborhood. And then I watched other gangs come to the neighborhood and influence the gangs that were already there.
So in the neighborhood, there were no gangs, and those gangs were able to develop because of lack of fathers?
I'm a 1977 baby. When I was growing up, South Minneapolis was a working, blue-class neighborhood, relatively integrated with whites and blacks. Some of us had fathers, some of us didn't have fathers, but a lack of fathers weren't really the issue at that time. My generation, is, you know, specifically in South Minneapolis, we were dealing more with the influx of drugs, and it was the drugs that came to the neighborhood and the laws that changed to lock up the fathers that removed the parents or the father out of the home.
So you believe it was the laws that changed to remove the fathers out of the home? Because they say a lack of positive alternatives, a lack of identity, a need to feel important, companionship, a lack of parental involvement, low self-esteem, and peer pressures is what makes mad dads. What is, for those of you listening trying to get on the Blog Talk Radio, we're having some complications. I want to apologize. We won't be able to probably get you on. We're still trying. If you're calling in and trying to get on the show, I want to tell you we're just having some computer issues. We are working on it right now as we speak, but just hang in there. They say those are some of the things. And do you agree with that? Are there other things that you can add on to that?
Without being racially or culturally biased, some of that information is not really accurate. That is stuff that applies to be frank, black people. But we have seen the gang culture even hit the suburban communities where we're dealing with Caucasian or white children who have never even encountered a gang member who are trying to be involved in gangs. So I believe that those factors are consistent maybe for people in my environment or my neighborhood, but on a bigger or broader picture, we're looking at a whole culture that is being prostituted, for lack of better words, over the media. I mean, it's being sensationalized. It's okay to be a Blood, a Crip, a Vice Lord, a GD, a gangster. It's okay to be a thug when the child can put on, pick up a internet and get on the internet and watch YouTube videos, turn on the cable channel and watch TV shows that promote this kind of behavior, where they sensationalize it, where they deceive our children to think that they're going to be multimillionaires driving Hummer trucks on 26th if they, you know, if they participate in being a drug dealer / gang member.
Okay, so one of the other questions I want to ask you is, they, you know, what the experts say is, don't let your child. Some of the things they say, and this is what makes me a little upset because I don't think this is true. This is what they say: if signs of a possible gang involvement, living in a high risk neighborhood. That disturbs me.
Once again, VJ, you know, we can tap down around the issues, or you know, we can tell the truth. That is a culturally slated statement. We know that when you start talking about high risk or high crime areas, we're talking about neighborhoods that have large populations of blacks and Latinos, and that's just a known fact. We're in Minneapolis. We're in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Minneapolis and St. Paul are very diverse communities, so the demographics are a little bit different for us. But in our cities, we're looking at blacks, Somalians, Hmongs, Laos, white children whose parents cannot afford to leave these neighborhoods and communities, who are forced to, and whether we like it or not, they're forced because they financially cannot move away from the negativity, aka these urban environments that we're seeing this affect all nationalities, all cultures of children in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
So, what happened? GDs, Bloods, Crips, Vice Lords. What happened to all those gangs, and how did we get that surge of 1-9, Skid Squad, 10s, 20s? What happened?
First of all, Minneapolis and St. Paul are cities that really don't have any true identity of their own when it comes to the black community. Most of the black people that are here have migrated from other states. Most of us are from down south. If we're from Minnesota, our parents came from down south. And then we see the influx of people from Chicago, Gary, Indiana, East St. Louis, St. Louis, Detroit, Indianapolis, other neighboring cities, Milwaukee, where they were coming here for economics, trying to actually better themselves financially. What that does for us is it gives us a different issue. It gives us different issues for Minneapolis and St. Paul when it comes to urban environments and gangs. There was a lot of different influences. The main vehicle in Minneapolis and St. Paul was drug selling. It wasn't really about gang banging in the late 80s and early mid 90s. It was really more about people selling drugs up here. So a lot of our problems in Minneapolis and St. Paul stem from the influx of crack that came here in the late 80s.
Well, that's interesting. The influx of crack cocaine that came in the late 80s and began to really destroy the family. Crack cocaine was one of the only drugs that women would actually give their daughters away.
I've seen that. I bear witness to that.
It was the only drug. Heroin didn't do it. Alcohol didn't do it. Marijuana didn't do it. But cocaine was that one drug. Well, you can have my daughter. Just give me another hit.
Right.
Girls, when did the girls start getting really involved in the gangs?
Well, see, that's a West Coast thing for Minneapolis. The Crips and the Bloods really heavily mix and mingle with the women. The women were the term is mules. They were being used to transport drugs or to hold drugs, which had a lot to do with how they had changed the laws about search and seizure. California guys or the West Coast people had a different understanding of selling drugs and had a different understanding of how to get along around the laws and rules and regulations to sell drugs. So as far as Minneapolis and St. Paul is concerned, my personal opinion was that was more of a West Coast influence as far as the young ladies being active in participating in the gangs. Those are the only two gangs that I know actively had young ladies claiming to be a part and a parcel to a gang openly.
So they say the profile of a young female gang member, she has a high rate of physical and sexual abuse, that she's severe, a severe drug addict, low academic employment achievement, and chronically dysfunctional and abusive, and in an abusive family. Is that really true today in the case of female gang members?
For some children, I think that might be the case. I've seen situations where, like I said earlier, that is, this is third or fourth, fifth generation behavior for some of these children. This is not just mom is just dysfunctional because mom wants to be dysfunctional, be a crackhead. There is a such thing as a mother who doesn't smoke crack, goes to work every day to support and take care of her children, but when she gets home, there's certain things that she's neglecting, certain behaviors she's not paying attention to herself, like allowing too many men in and out of the household, that it easily opens the young lady's eyes to thinking that it's okay to be used and abused by the young men in the community.
So, in other words, parents need to know some new tools today other than before. You can't look on some of this historical stuff that our so-called experts came up with that said if you want to identify a woman in a gang, you look at her hair color, her earrings, folk nations, the five-star representative people nation, you know, you look for all that, tattoos, lip liners, colors used, hairstyle, haircut, eyebrows, the kind of jewelry they wear, graffiti, beads and rope bracelets used in color codes. That stuff doesn't mean anything today.
No, it doesn't. But, and once again, VJ, you know, let us be real, man. That information is accumulated by people who know nothing about the culture. They're looking from the outside in. That's almost like saying that a jaguar, because it looks like a leopard, that it's a leopard, and because a leopard looks like a jaguar, it's a jaguar. But that's not the case. We know that a leopard is a leopard and a jaguar is a jaguar. What do I mean when I sit there and I say that? I am from urban neighborhoods, and I know there's a such thing as a young lady who fits all of those physical descriptions and has no kind of gang-banging tendencies at all. So
what we have to do is start looking at our people and educating them on how to do this, because evidently somebody is trying to do it for us and getting it all wrong. And if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to seriously figure out exactly what it is that we're doing wrong, because after years and years and years of trying to get a grip and get a hold of what's going wrong with our families, we have the Center for Fathering, the Family Center. We're working with men and women and changing their lives. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of lives are changed every year from the outreach and the work that we do with the families. But yet and still, babies are getting younger and younger, and they're dying younger and younger. So there's something that is really changing the dynamics of the guys that have guns now, even younger, 13, 14, 15. Nobody gave you a gun when you was 13 years old. They wouldn't give you one. You had to duke it out. You got mad with somebody, you had to fight.
Yeah, it was different. We weren't. We didn't revert to guns as early as the children are reverting to guns now.
So what happened to the adults that allow? Because people say they're scumbags. They're not leaders anymore. They're not gang leaders. They're not chiefs anymore. They're not OGs. They're giving guns to babies. Something went wrong.
Well, okay. First of all, most of the OGs that really would qualify as men. Or qualify as men, pardon my language. They're locked up. So let's quit telling ourselves that there's a 25-year-old plus man sitting in the neighborhood polluting these children. That is not the way that is operating. That was the way it operated when I was young. When I was growing up, you know, you got handed the game from an older guy in the neighborhood. That's not happening anymore. They've changed the laws. They're all of the OGs or the real hustlers, they're locked up. What we're looking at now, and I'm going to keep stressing this, we're looking at third, fourth, fifth generation gangbanging, where my daddy, before my daddy was a blood, my mama before my mama was a blood, my daddy before my daddy was a Crip, GD, Vice, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen it. I've seen it myself where I walked into a house and the child can't say anything except what up, folks, at 3 and 4 years old.
And that's sad. Don't forget that this Thursday at 9 p.m., you want to come down to Arnello's. Lil James is going to be on the line to talk about his concert. We're unable to do that right now. I want to apologize for our technical difficulty. But Lil James, Arnello's, Lil James, part of the Money Team, Mayweather and the Money Team will be there. Mayweather may not be there, but part of the Money Team will be there. And so look forward to seeing him at Arnello's. I think the cost is $15 or somewhere around in there. So it is not a free concert, but come on down. There'll be others down there, Sharp Body and many others. So come down to Arnello's. And we weren't able to get Mama Teresa on the line and the part of the Money Team on. We apologize for that. But we do want folks to come on out and check that out. And so when we talk about the next generation, let's talk about next steps then. What do we do? What's our next step?
We need to change our belief systems. We don't have the proper belief system anymore. Our belief system is not working. If we change the way we think, we'll change the way we act. We have a deaf ear, a blind eye to a lot of negativity in our communities. We have a hopeless mentality, or we don't want to participate. I'm just taking care of me. We have a survivalist mentality right now in the urban environments. Everybody in urban communities are not participating in games. Some of the men and women that could actually make a change are too scared or too busy to even be bothered with changing the face of their community.
So you said they're too bothered. They're too busy doing what, though?
I mean, you know, we're living in a materialistic society. I have two sisters, three on my father's side, but I have two sisters that I know actively work and stay busy trying to take care of themselves. So much to the point to where they don't have a lot of time to actually deal with their children as much as they would like. I've seen them use gifts, and this is not a slight towards my sisters, but they'll use gifts to replace not being able to spend as much time with them.
No, what the problem is.
So yeah. We're looking at children that think that they need to have $300-$400 cell phones. I mean, that's one of the biggest issues in North Minneapolis right now. You know, the kids are running around taking cell phones from people. You know, if you have a Galaxy 4 or iPhone 5 or 6, and they see your child with that cell phone, they think it's okay to take the cell phone. When I was growing up, we were taking people's starter jackets and taking the $100 Jordan shoes off of their feet. So it's the same mentality. It's just evolved a little bit more.
So one of the things that I know that we must do is we got to keep God first. God is the answer to a lot of the solutions. Parenting is the answer to a lot of solutions. But also, we have to talk to the politicians and the powers that be to give us the resources to make a change.
I 100% agree with you, VJ. First of all, God first. I'm glad that you said it. That's what I mean by belief system. This is no attack on North Minneapolis, but for anybody who lives in North Minneapolis, you know that you can walk a mile in any direction and you'll see a church. And I know for a fact that out of all those churches in North Minneapolis, that those people are there truly trying to worship God and be better people. But the challenge is this. How can we, preferably black people in a predominantly black community, have that many churches, the church houses be full every Sunday, and then walk out of the churches and our children behave that way? The answer is that there's only church on Sunday, there's no church in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we're not being the examples of what wrong and right is. People don't know by what they hear, they know by what they see. Your child is going to do what they see you do, they're not going to do what you tell them to do.
Amen. That is the truth.
Well, you know, I agree with that, and I think that's important. Remember, if you're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, come to our Center for Fathering group tonight. It's tonight, every Tuesday night. Big ups once again in Omaha, Nebraska, Lincoln, Pittsburgh, New York, Iowa, Florida, all of them. And don't forget Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be meeting today, 3023 4th Avenue South. The Center for Fathering will hear our partnership with Urban Ventures. Want to say big ups to North Point Health and Wellness. And everybody that helps us do the work that we do. I want to say big thanks to Sarita. Thank you very much for hosting our show today and getting us all ready and geared up and ready to go. How you doing? You have anything you want to say today?
Nope. I just enjoyed listening to Justin. He had a lot of good points. Glad he was here.
Yes, he has a lot of great points. He's a man always with a smile and a good word for you. We know we can get that from him. And I want you to know something else. That when it comes to, you know, kind of doing positive things in your life, you got to be around positive people. So many times you'll be around negative people, you wonder why things are going in a negative direction. It's because the people around you. You have to change your surroundings if you want to change your outcome. Outcomes with positive people are always better than outcomes with negative people. I know you say, yeah, but I love them, I got to help them. Well, then expect a negative outcome. Because if you never change it, you're going to always get what you've been getting. Any last words, sir?
No. I think that was perfect. That was absolutely perfect.
Any last words for you, ma'am?
I love the show. Tune in to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have it going on next week. Sorry about what happened this week.
Yeah, and don't forget Arnella's. Come on down to Arnella's on Thursday. The Money Team will be down there. And Little James, the Black Jesus, will be down there performing with Short Body and the rest of the team. So we look forward to seeing you guys down there. Look forward to being a part of it. God bless you. And remember, reach for the moon. If you don't get it, at least you'll land up on a star. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.